The sound of silence, you know, at times I think the silence can be overwhelming. It can almost be deafening. I mean, the sound of silence. You know, in this series, we're going to talk about how to deal with the silence in life when you're struggling and God's silent. When you're going through something and you go, this just doesn't make sense. It's not what you planned. It's not what you prayed for. And you feel like you're walking alone. It's a sound of silence. I mean, the song says, the silence creeping like a cancer grows. The silence is planted deep in our mind. And it's overpowering, and it's isolating. I mean, the silence will separate you. It will separate you from everyone and everything. And I believe it's easy to get overwhelmed within that sound of silence. You know, in the silence, you keep asking for answers. You keep asking for relief in your life. You keep asking why. And the silence, it's disturbing. It messes with you. You know, the fact is, we've all been there. In fact, some of you are there today. Do you ever look at the world and you see what's going on and you think, What's happening here? I mean, what's going on here? It doesn't make sense. And you see the tension in the world and the chaos and the violence and the conflict. And you think, where's God in the middle of this? And if you're like me, you go, if I were God, I'd do this. I'd fix this. I'd do this a little bit different. And I'm going to warn you up front, as we go through this series, you will not like some of the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to deal with some tough topics, some difficult stories. And you're not going to be happy with some of the answers. In fact, you might at a point think, I wish he'd be silent, you know. Maybe you feel that way every week, I don't know. But how many of you would say at some point in your life you prayed and it seemed like God wasn't listening to you? All right, there are a lot of hands there. As you wait and wait and wait, you know, hello darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. It's too familiar, isn't it? It's just silence. How many of you have been there again? Show your hands. Come on, look around you for a moment. Keep your hands up. Look around you. See, the pain, the darkness, the loneliness, the silence, sometimes it just baffles you. You know, sometimes you hear an amazing story from someone where everything worked out, and then you look at your situation, and you look at your life, and you think, it's not working out for me. And sometimes I think people make it more difficult because you got something really bad happening in your life, and you got a friend and they're like praising God because they got a good parking spot at the Cardinal game or something, you know. And in your mind you're thinking, you make me sick, you know. Come on, I'm not the only one that feels that way sometimes, huh? And sometimes I believe pastors, we tend to share stories where there's a real positive result ultimately. And so we share these stories where faith results in victory, where God's power is present, and ultimately everything works out for good. And so after hearing them, you kind of go, wow, God came through. That's an amazing story. But here's the rub. You hear a story like that, and you think, it didn't happen that way for me. You know, and then you look around and you see friends that are being blessed. You know, their marriages are flourishing, or vocationally they're thriving, or financially they're prospering in their life. And you see things coming together for them in various areas of their life. And inside you're thinking, you know what, I'm faithful to God. I mean, they barely acknowledge God. I mean, what's up with that? The sound of silence. I mean, where is God? This doesn't make sense. I mean, what do you do when it seems like God's inattentive in your life, that you're praying and God doesn't seem to hear your prayers? I mean, what do you do when God's silent? And here's a key thought today that I want us to kind of rally around. Just because God is silent does not mean God's absent. Just because you cannot hear God does not mean that God cannot hear you. And when you're surrounded by silence, and it happens in life, you need to know that God is with you. God is with you. There's a story in Scripture I have always found very challenging, a little bit troubling. And honestly, I do not like the way the story turns out. It's a story of John the Baptist. Now, this is not John the disciple that Jesus loved. This is John the Baptist, John the baptizer. He's Jesus' cousin. John was this radical prophet. He was foretelling the coming of the Messiah. And John was very unconventional. He was kind of like a New Testament hippie. Yeah, he wore animal skins. He had a diet that consisted of locusts and honey. And he's a prophet living in the wilderness. He's living off the grid. And John was extremely popular prophet. He didn't filter what he said. He boldly spoke the truth. And that's what ultimately would get him in trouble with King Herod Antipas. To help you kind of understand, I'm going to give you a little bit of the backstory. That King Herod was married, and he becomes interested in his brother's wife. Her name's Herodias, and she was cute. They started flirting. He divorces his wife. He marries Herodias, and it's scandalous. In the first century, CNN, this would have been the lead story, all right? John the Baptist gets all up in their business. You know, he tweeted, this isn't right. You know, this is sinful, you know. And everybody's reading his tweets. He had millions of followers, you know. Herodias hated John the Baptist. She wanted him dead. So Herod finally has John arrested, and we'll kind of read the story and work through this. He goes, for Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him up, put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, who he married, by the way, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John speaks out. His comments are not welcomed, and especially from Herodias. She did not like it. And so finally, Herod has him arrested. It goes on and says, and Herodias had a what? A grudge. Remember that. It's important. She had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. Herod did not like the comments either, but he believed that John was a man of God. And so Herod kind of had a fearful respect. Herodias, she's out for blood. She wants him dead. And she couldn't do it because Herod protected him. In other words, you get this very tedious situation going on. Now, John the Baptist had not done anything wrong. All he had done was point people to Jesus Christ. He had been preparing the way for the Messiah, you know. And so John ends up baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. And then he tells all of his followers, he says, don't follow me anymore. Follow Jesus. John stands up for the truth. John is doing the right thing, the godly thing, and it lands him in prison. Now, if I'm John, I'm thinking, okay, I'm faithful to Jesus. I'm speaking the truth. I'm honoring God. I'm standing up for Jesus. He'll stand up for me. I mean, word on the street was Jesus was performing miracles, a lot of miracles. And so, again, in my mind, if I'm John, I'm thinking, he'll do a miracle for me. John's in prison. He's waiting. He's waiting for Jesus. He's waiting for Jesus to stand up. He's waiting for Jesus to send an angel or create an earthquake or do something to open the doors of his cell, to break the chains and set him free. John's waiting, but Jesus didn't come. Jesus didn't stage a breakout for him. Jesus just kept ministering to the crowds and performing miracles, and John waited. Now, I want to do a poll this morning. How many of you think that John kept the faith and was unwavering in his faith? All right? All right. How many of you think that he probably struggled with his faith a little bit? All right. How many of you go, you know what, I'm abstaining because I don't know where this is going? You know. John the Baptist was human. And he did what I think most of us would have done. He starts questioning things. Matthew records the account, Matthew 11, the second and third chapter, or second and third verse. He says, now when John heard in prison about the things Christ was doing, when he heard that, John's waiting in prison. John isn't... He doesn't see any relief in sight. He's waiting. Jesus doesn't visit him. Some of the disciples come and visit him. They're telling John about everything that's going on out there. They go, Jesus is performing all these miracles. You won't believe it. He's healing people. It's amazing. He turned water into wine the other day at this wedding. You should have been there, John. But Scripture says that he sent word by his disciples to Jesus, asking, are you the one that's to come, or should we look for another? You know, John has been preparing the way for Jesus. He's been teaching that the Messiah is coming. John's been faithful, but he starts questioning. Jesus hasn't come through for me yet. I must have it wrong. Maybe Jesus isn't who I thought he was. And so he sends word by his disciples back to Jesus asking, are you the one or not? Now, let me tell you what Jesus didn't tell him. Jesus didn't say, yeah, I'm the one. Don't sweat it. About midnight, I'll come and break you out. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to send a band of brothers to spring you from jail. In fact, he didn't even say, I am the one. Scripture says, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And the prisoners are set free. Well, okay, that's not there, but it should have been. It is other places. But the next verse, this is the one that's almost too hard to comprehend. He says, Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What? Are you kidding? You're healing people, Jesus? You're doing miracles for strangers? And you're telling me that I'm blessed if I don't stumble on account of you? You didn't come to prison? You didn't come to visit me? You sent someone else with the message? You sent someone else to tell me about all the great things you're doing out there? I mean, there's no power to deliver me. I mean, I've been serving. I've been faithful. This does not make sense. And John is in his prison cell. I mean, he's trying to make sense of everything. And John is waiting and waiting. Jesus is doing what God's called him to do, but John's in his prison cell waiting, and I think the sound of silence must have been overwhelming. John waits, and he waits, and he waits. If you read the story, Herod throws a kegger. He has a big party. Everybody's partying, and they're drinking, and they're drunk. And the story kind of gets weird, I'll be honest with you. Herodias' daughter, Salome, she does a dance. Don't know what the dance consisted of, but the king loved it. And the king is drunk. I mean, he's really drunk. He loves everybody, you know. Oh, you're my friend. I love you, toga, 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 you know. I mean, he's the life of the party. He's showing off for the guests. And he tells Salome, he says, that was an amazing dance. Ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. Now, she's a teenager. I mean, he figures she's going to say, hey, I want a new iPhone, or, you know, how about tickets to the Bruno Mars concert, or something like that. She runs to her mom. Says, Mom, what do I ask for? Herodias, the woman with the grudge, she says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. The teenager runs back to the drunk king. I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. He says, okay. And this is where the plot takes a big turn. You know, as the guards are about to kill John, the ground starts shaking. The doors open. Angels appear, and they strike the guards blind, and John's chains fall off, and he walks out of his cell, his face is painted, and he goes, freedom! You know, he has a great life. He married, had kids, had a dog, named it Herodias. It's the Hallmark version. But that's not what happened. It's the kind of thing that happened other places. Other times there was an earthquake. Other times angels appeared and prison doors opened. Other times that happened. But that's not what happened for John the Baptist. I mean, here's what happened. If you read the story, the king kind of struggles with fulfilling the promise of what he promised Salome that he would do. And he decides that an oath's an oath, and that he's got to honor it. And scripture says this, immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. This story has always troubled me. In fact, I avoided even speaking about this part of the story for years. It's not how the story is supposed to end. sounds of silence. John the Baptist, who was faithful to Jesus. John the Baptist, who always deferred to Jesus. John the Baptist, who said, I want to be less so that Jesus will be increased in this world. You know, John the Baptist, who understood that he wasn't even worthy to touch the sandals of Jesus. You know, John the Baptist says, I prepare the way for the Messiah. Don't follow me, follow him. Jesus had the power to rescue him. But the guards went in and they executed him. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit America's version of Christianity, where I get promoted, where I am protected, where I overcome the situation. The story doesn't fit. I mean, it's not the story you're going to get excited about sharing at small group. You know, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't end right. The story leaves you numb. The silence is overwhelming in it. But let's disconnect a little bit from the emotional side of the story. Look from a little bit different perspective. Here's what we know. John the Baptist was born to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare for the Messiah. And he did that. He pointed people to Jesus. He baptized Jesus. Everything he did was to usher in the ministry of the Messiah. Jesus would go on perform miracles. You know, the good news was proclaimed. Salvation ultimately was won. God's purpose did come to pass. It just didn't happen the way that John planned. Scripture says, many are the plans in a person's heart. This is what I want. I want this, and this, and this. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Friends, you may have a plan. John the Baptist had a plan. You may plan and plan and plan in your life, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I've made a lot of plans in my life. A lot of plans. And I can't even begin to tell you how many times my plans didn't work out. You know, I was told, you're not going to make it. You don't cut it. I've been frustrated, and I've been confused, and I've been hurt, and I've been broken through the years. I have lost so many times that I quit counting. My plans didn't pan out. But God's purpose prevailed. There are things that have happened to people that I love, people I've prayed for, and I didn't understand it at the time, and some of them I still don't understand. But the Lord's purpose always prevails. And I do not live in despair in my life because I trust God. And I trust God's purpose, and I trust God's word. God's word's always, always, always true. I mean, things may not go the way I want, the way I plan, the way I desire, but just because God is silent does not mean he's absent. God is always working. He's always working, accomplishing his purpose. God's purpose will always prevail, always. And here's what I want you to grasp, and we're going to build on this over the next few weeks. You do not have to understand God's plan to trust God's purpose in that. You do not have to like God's plan to trust God's purpose. And some of you are dealing with some really big problems today. Really personal problems. I mean, some of you are praying and it's not getting better. Some of you are praying for someone who's struggling and it seems like God's silent. You know, some of you are praying for someone who's sick and they're not getting better. I mean, some of you, you're really talented and you've worked hard all your life and you found out you're going to lose your job. You know, some of you are wondering how you're going to make it. Some of you are going through something and you've prayed and prayed and prayed and you've asked other people to pray and nothing. Just the sound of silence. You don't understand why, but you don't have to understand why. And you don't have to understand the plan. You just have to trust God's purpose because God is good. God's always good. In other words, you don't interpret the goodness of God through your circumstances. You interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. God is always good. You don't have to understand everything to trust God completely. I mean, if you follow Jesus long enough in your life, you will have one of those moments in your life where it absolutely does not make sense to you, where you're surrounded by the silence, where you find yourself saying, why is this happening? And if you're like me, you want to know the plan, don't you? What's the plan, God? Where's this going, God? And here's what you got to get. You do not have to understand the plan to trust God's purpose. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. My faith is no longer in my plans. My faith is in God's purpose in my life. This is what I'd like to see happen, Lord. This is how I think things should work out. My faith's not in my plans. My faith is in God's purpose. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are wiser. I am not the center. It is not about me. I'm here to serve God, to glorify God. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trusting God and trusting God's purpose in your life. You know, Jesus went through the same experience in his life. I mean, if you fast forward the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that the cross was before him. And Scripture says he cried out in prayer, you know, Father, remove this cup of suffering. This isn't my plan. I'd like for things to go a different way. If there's any other way, Father, please, please, please take it. But not my plan. Your purpose. Not my will. Your will, Father. And if you know the story, they arrested Jesus that night. They beat him. They beat him so badly he was unrecognizable almost. He was near death from the loss of so much blood. And they drove nails into his hands and feet. He hung on the cross in shame. They're mocking him. He's dying. And he cries out to heaven, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? I mean, if I can add, why are you silent? Why won't you speak? Why won't you do something? The sound of silence. Just because God's silent does not mean he's absent. And friends, here we are 2,000 plus years later. Everything that our faith depends on centers around the moment when God was silent. God was willing and loved us enough to let his son die. It wasn't the disciples' plan. I mean, it didn't even make sense to them. But God's purpose prevailed. His ways are way higher, way wiser. God's purpose prevailed, and eternity was changed. Your eternity, mine. Friends, when God's purpose doesn't make sense, and you cry out, you know, God, heal them. God, I need help. God, I need a miracle in my life. Many times, God will hear that prayer. And he responds in mighty ways, supernatural ways. You see his goodness on display. You know, when he answers that prayer, when he does more than you ask for, more than you imagined. But there are other times when your plan, your prayers don't go the way you planned. Don't go the way you think they should go. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. That's what prevails. Don't put your faith in your plans. You got to trust God. You got to trust God's purpose. In other words, don't interpret God's goodness through your circumstances, but interpret your circumstances through that lens of God's purpose. If you don't understand the plan right now, best advice I got for you, trust God. There are many, many times I did not understand. I wanted a different path. There are many times I've been surrounded by the silence, and it seemed like God was absent, but God was working. His purpose prevailed. His ways are higher. His ways are better. Trust God's goodness. Today, maybe things don't make sense to you. I'd say, trust God's goodness. Trust God's goodness. Trust God in the silence. In the silence. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, I know right now there are some that the silence is overwhelming. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just whisper to them. They'd just hear that voice saying, trust me, trust me. God, I pray that you would give us strength when things don't go the way we plan. That you'd give us strength and wisdom when none of it makes sense. God, help us to trust your purpose. You sit on the throne, you're in charge. God, we may not understand it today, but maybe years down the road, it all makes sense. Maybe it doesn't make sense till we get to eternity. God, there are many things in this life that I just don't get. But I know your purpose prevails. I know that. I believe that. And I stand on that. God, give us wisdom. in the silence. God, may we honor you with all we say and do in the silence. We give you the glory and praise this day and every day. Amen. There are going to be prayer teams down front if you'd like them to pray for you. And I say this about every time, but you can come down. You don't have to tell them what. Just say, hey, pray for me. If you want to share, that's fine. But they'll be down front. And then also, I'd just throw out an invitation. If you're new around here, following the service, all three of the pastors will be down front just to chat with you, answer questions, talk to you. Be glad to meet you. And so let's continue with worship this morning.